ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Laurie Wynan, starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. For Captain Povey, there's no such thing as a good day or a bad day. They're all equally ghastly. Well, this is inevitable, as at some time during every day he has to come in contact with the crew of HMS Trutbridge. Today's no exception. In fact, it started disastrously already. In his innocence, Captain Povey is sure that this time CPO Pertwee has no answer to the accusation that the previous evening the chief once again pinched the lead from the roof of the Admiral's office. Well, you'd think that by now he'd know CPO Pertwee better.
Well, Chief, do you still deny that it was you that was seen on the roof of the Admiral's office at 10:20 last night?
No, sir. I don't deny it.
What? He definitely said he did not deny.
Possibly, sir, but there's a catch. He didn't admit it either.
Thank you, sir. I was about to say that I don't deny it if that's what you choose to think of me. One hardly has the heart to defend oneself when one is accused by those one thought knew one better than to believe that one would engage in such a nefarious activity.
Oh, dear, he's off.
Especially, sir, when at the time mentioned, one had taken enormous trouble to provide oneself with a flaming good alibi.
Yes, I've been absolutely cast iron.
Or lead covered.
All right, Chief, let's hear it. Where were you?
Out and about, sir. Out and about. It so happens that exactly 10:20, I was in the bar of the Pubble's Head sipping my usual lime juice and soda. When I inadvertently knocked over another mariner's pint of beer, and he said, amongst other things, oh, look, it's 10:20. So we all did, sir, and it was. Fortunately, I was even able to confirm it with Charlie when I was getting a hot dog from his stand in the ice cream. Fancy you being here at 10:20, he said. Which was a bit of luck. That meant I was just in time for the end of the film, see? So I took my seat in the circle and I said to the ice cream girl, is it 10:20 yet? And she said, oh, yes, sir. Spot on. Now, if you want to know what the picture was about, I can tell you because I discussed the plot with the Lady Marys as we strolled around the exhibition of Basket Rush and Raffia Works. All some lovely things they got there, too. There was a clock there all set in wickerwork. Now, I noticed it particularly because it said 10:20. Now, just at the exact moment when the conductor lifted his bat to start the symphony concert at the town hall. Beethoven's Fifth, it was. Lovely piece, one of his best. You could have heard a pin drop, and then one did. Boom. Yeah, it was the town hall clock.
Oh, well, if that...
And if you think that meant it was half past, you're wrong, because we all know the town hall clock is 10 minutes past. And the barmaid, the black swan, could prove it, because she shouted, last orders, please, as she always does, at exactly 10:20, sir.
That's his best ever. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Phillips?
I'm not sure. I got left at Charlie's hot dog stand.
I presume you can prove you were at all these places?
Certainly, sir. I've got 16 relatives who were with me the whole time.
16, Chief?
Yes, sir. That lead was perishing heavy.
But Phillips, take care out of my office a lot. Mark my words, sir. One of these days, somehow or other, I'll catch up with you. And when I do, I'll have you off your ship, out of the flotilla, out of the Navy, out of the country, and if possible, out of this world.
Aye, aye, sir. But not today, sir, eh, sir?
Out, out, out! Move!
Squeeze him out.
It's not fair. It's just not fair.
Now what?
Come in.
Ah, I'm glad you're in, sir, because we wanted a quick word like
that. You, Stephen Goldstein, what the places do you want?
Well, I thought everybody knew that by now. Promotion, of course.
Goldstein,
I'll seize you.
If you too big.
Who's this?
My Aunt Morpeth, of course.
Oh, good grief.
Come on in, Auntie. Sir's here and dying to meet you again.
No, 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 wait.
Your tongues have waited quite long enough. Now, what I want to know is, and I want an answer because I've come all the way from the glorious land of Wales to get one. When is my Toffee going to be a petty officer?
Yes, quite. However, you must realize, madam, that I can hardly discuss...
Maybe not, but I can. Now, when does he start? I'll pay for his new uniform, proper duck for his look. Heaven's the maid to measure on some upper street.
Now, don't rush Captain Bach, Auntie.
Leaving Stephen Goldstein cannot be made a petty officer until there is a vacancy for a petty officer. And unless Hurtbridge loses a petty officer for some reason,
Sir? Goldstein?
What did I just say?
That you said if Troutbridge was to lose a petty officer, sir.
Did I? Well, I meant a chief petty officer.
Ah. Well, that's not likely to happen, is it, sir?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if C.P.O. Pertwee were found to be unfit and prematurely discharged because of ill health, or possibly caught red-handed in some misdemeanor, well... I make myself clear?
Positively crystal, sir.
What's your man talking about?
Never you mind, Auntie. Just you get on to Evans, the maid, to measure uniforms while you wait. Give him my measurements and tell him to start fiddling.
That's more like it. But while I'm here, I may as well warn you, Captain Bach. If he don't get his promotion, I'm going to buy our Tuffy out and see he gets a good job at the pithead.
Oh, no, Auntie.
Hold your good well tongue, Tuff, Auntie.
Madam, would you?
Now, come along, Tuffy. I've finished with him for the time being.
Come in.
Good morning, Mr. Morning, sir. Phil Lieutenant's reports of,
don't bother. I know the phase.
A ship ready for inspection, sir.
You're joking, of course. We can always try.
Well, I gave the ship's company plenty of warning that we were coming, sir.
Oh, so that's what it was.
What was what? You were saying, sir?
No, it was just that I was kept awake half the night listening to the gentle patter of sailors' boots taking the smuggle ashore to a safer hiding place.
Well, I know what you mean, sir. The trouble is that you'll be kept awake again tonight as they bring it all back.
Yes, quite. Oh, well, may as well get started, I suppose. Morning, Chief. Everything ready for inspection?
Well, as near as I am, I said.
We'll start with the engine room.
All right, sir. After you, down the companionway, sir. Right.
Well, come along, Chief.
All right, sir.
Well, come on, Mr. Phillips.
No. Now, just a minute. I just noticed you went down facing forward. I always climb down facing backwards. Is it easier your way?
Well, try it, then.
Oh, right, try it.
No!
No, sir, it isn't.
I think I bruised my knee.
Strange. Your knee didn't appear to be what you landed on from where I was watching.
Yes, oh, very funny. Yes. I bruised that as well, actually.
Well, when we get to my quarters, sir, I'll let you have some liniment.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much. Yes, I'll put that on my quarters.
Right, sir. Come along, hop along, catastrophe. Let's get this inspection started. Let's hope Lieutenant Queeg is in.
Hi, good morning, Milkman. 3 pints, please. Thank you. Oh, it's you, sir. It was a peak cat that confused me. Hey. How extremely kind of you to drop in.
Sir, I was the one that dropped in, actually. Yeah. From a great height.
Oh, is that what the bang was? I thought we'd lost a bearing or whatever it is that happens to these engines. Or whatever they are down here. There was something you wanted, I take it.
No, Mr. Queeg. I'm just inspecting the ship and we thought we'd start with the engine room.
Oh, capital idea, sir. Capital idea. It's more than fortunate that you picked this morning for your inspection.
Really? Why?
Well, it's one of those rare days when the lad who knows all about the mechanical gubbins or whatever they are is actually here.
Lummy. Do you mean he's feeling all right this morning?
Well, it's quite a novelty, I admit. But yesterday's bismuth seemed to have steadied him down long enough to stay here too well. caught him coming back, really. Now, that was entirely his own fault. I warned him about having second helpings before.
Right, Mr. Squeeze, if you don't mind, I think we'd better move on elsewhere rather sharply.
An expression frequently used by the lads, though, yes.
Yes, right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Squeeze. Good morning.
Oh, I take it you're off then. Oh, but could I ask you to do the lad a wee favor and leave the door open as you go? Adds a great deal to the little chap's peace of mind. He is confident that he can get from where he is to wherever he has to keep going without any undue delay or hindrance. I mean, one stiff door handle can present him with a very real problem, I can assure you.
Yes, I can imagine. Where to next, Mr. Morrison?
I thought the WT room, or possibly...
No, I think we'll inspect your quarters next, Chief.
But the galley... My quarters?
Yes, please.
But whatever for, sir? You know my quarters are always a model of what every man in his own firm should be.
Yeah, they probably are today. You've had 3 days' warning and the whole night to ship surplus novelties ashore.
Yes, I know. I thought we'd have... Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a whimsical, I'm sure.
It wasn't last night. Your quarters, please, Chief.
All right, sir. If you insist. This way, sir. This way, sir. The door's not locked.
For once. No sentries outside, either.
You'll find everything spick and span. And it's shame and example to the rest of the ship.
The blazes.
Lummy. Steptoe and Son's junkyard.
Yes, or the Gosport Corporation's refuse dump. After it had been blown up. Pertwee, is this supposed to be some sort of joke?
I? Well, what's the matter with... It's gang warfare. My drum has been turned over. Pertwee's pad has been pulverized. Who did it? I've
never seen such a mess. Look at it. You usually leave your dirty socks and beer bottles all over the deck.
And since when do petty officers use their sea boots as ashtrays?
Don't your bunk look like a relief map of the Alps?
I'm not surprised, though. It's full of old baked bean tins and empty gin bottles.
Why do you sleep on that lot? It must make a terrible bin when you turn over.
I've never in my life...
I say, sir, look at this.
What?
Written in toothpaste on his shaving mirror. Number one is a...
Well, Chief, number one is a what?
I don't know, sir, but I'm very grateful the tube ran out.
Really? Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, I take a very serious view of this. I shall postpone the rest of the inspection for 1 hour. During that time, you'll clear up this mess to my complete satisfaction, or I'll have you up in front of Captain Clovey in the morning.
Yes, but, sir...
But not on the word, Chief. And whilst you're about it, I shall also want an explanation as to why you've got those 6 kit bags stowed by your locker instead of the usual...
That you've got in them anyway. They're as heavy as...
They are full of lead. Pertwee,
I've never seen it before in my life, sir.
Oh, I have. On the Admiral's roof.
It's a lie, sir. It's a lie. I've been framed. It's a karma. So someone's given Pertwee a right going over and a proper sort out. I've never seen that lead before. In any case, I spent half the night stacking it behind number 10 warehouse. No, I'm not.
You have 1 hour, Chief. 1 hour.
I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Set him up beautiful, I had. Pity that toothpaste you ran out, mind. Because what I'd thought of for the last word should have had him in the rattle for about 10 years. You know what you are, Taffy? You're a rotten. And a Welsh rotten at that. English rottens are rotten enough, but Welsh rottens are the rottenest of all rotten.
Oh, never mind that.
And you're the rottenest of all the Welsh rotten, so that makes you King Rotten.
Oh, shut up.
Of Cardiff. Look, so whose side are you on anyway? I told you, when I get to be a petty officer, I use my new power to get you made a leading seaman. What's more, when we get home rule for Wales, I'll see to it that you become a naturalised Welsh without delay.
I don't want to be a naturalised Welsh. What would I look like sitting on my high steadford eating Welsh rabbit and leek? Plucking at me Welsh harp and singing Land of Me Fathers with a daffodil stuck behind me ear.
Oh, you'd look lovely, Bach, and Irene would have been proud of you. Now, you're phase two of the campaign. From here on, wherever Chief Petty Officer Pertwee goes, or whatever he does, utter disaster is going to dog his size 12 boots. It's psychological warfare, you see.
I'm not happy. I'm not, you know. People have noticed it. I'm not happy.
Ah, well, neither am I. But if I don't get made up to Petty Officer a bit sharpish, and more people buy me out of the service, then I'd be working back at the pit head. And to dodge that, I'd even go so far as to cut all the strings off the chief bard's arm.
How desperate can you be? Fair enough, then. Phase two.
To purchase of new dartboard, 37 shillings and 6 pence. To purchase of 3 darts for the purpose of projecting at dartboard and thereby giving the game some points, 9 shillings and 8 pence. To sticking plaster required by scorer for repairs in unmentionable places, 8 pence halfpenny. For damage to naval property by darts, which missed both dartboard and scorer, 14 pounds, 7 shillings, and 7 pence. Come in.
Are you in there, Cartwright?
Whoever is without, answer unto me. Ah, Chief, I was just making up the welfare account. Excuse me one moment.
Make a takeover bid this time,
Padre. Oh, that is a relief. Much as the fund has been glad to advance you the fare to visit your dear white-haired old mother in Majorca in the forest, her last illness practically cleaned us out.
Yes, well, this time I'm the one who needs help, Padre. I think I'm haunted.
I beg yours.
I'm haunted, sir. Either that or I'm going round the twist. As you're the ship's welfare officer, I wondered if you could do a bit of welfare for me.
By all means, Chief. Now, what exactly seems to be the trouble?
Well, I wish I knew, sir. I mean, things keep happening to Pertwee that Pertwee didn't make up. But they look like Pertwee made sort of happen, and they keep happening to happen near Pertwee when Pertwee happens to be happening by the time they happen. First, there was the way my quarters got turned over, sir. I mean, I know I'm a restless sleeper, but that was ridiculous. And after that, number one found all my kit in the sea boat, and he reckoned he'd just stopped me from deserting. And then when I'm all set to part the captain aboard this morning, I come to attention, put me boat into the parts of me cake hole, and blow. And guess what happened, sir?
I've no idea. What did the captain have to say about that?
Nothing, sir. Fortunately, it's Commander Bell, so he just saluted it.
Yes, he would. But nevertheless, Chief, we must persevere and put our thinking cap on in an effort to get you out of your dead stook.
Well, it's very kind, Padre, but you see...
Not at all. Now, we'll start by getting what evening passed, as it appears unto me that you are much better off the ship than on.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. And 6 to 4, when I get to the gate, the pass will be 3 weeks out of date.
Leave it to me, Chief. We can but try.
Yes, sir.
We can but try.
Well, Chief, do you still deny that it was you that was seen once again on the roof of the Admiral's office, from which yet another load of lead was stolen at 10:20 last night?
As a matter of fact, sir, I have got an alibi, but you'd never believe it.
Good, we won't bother to hear. Well, now, what? As you know, I am a generous man. And taking into consideration all your years in the service, I have no wish to see you in serious trouble.
Aye?
So if you would just care to sign this form, which is your urgent application for a permanent draft overseas, I'll give it my immediate approval, and that will put an end to the whole matter.
It's a car, but that's what it is. I've been done down, round, left, right, centre, forward, sideways and upwards.
Yes, I think you have. Pity.
Not so flaming fast. Pertwee's not finished yet. I demand the right to be heard. I've got an alibi and someone's going to hear it.
Oh, very well, if you insist. Where were you when the Admiral's second lot of lead roof was stolen?
Well, as long as you all promised not to spread it about, I spent the evening at the Gosport and haven't laid his sewing guild bazaar and social evening. Beg your pardon.
Aye?
With a friend. And at exactly 10:20, we won the Star Bingo Prize. It was a set of hand-crocheted doilies and dinner mats.
Lucky old you.
Still, it could have been worse. It might have been a hand-knitted petticoat. That was the second prize, sir. We won that, too.
Oh, lovely. Bags I'm first for borrows in the winter.
Gentlemen, please. CPO Pudby, I trust you realize that I don't believe a word.
Well, if you won't believe me, sir, perhaps you'll believe my friend.
And what disreputable, broken-down tramp that you've got to lie his head off for you this time?
The park racer.
What?
And he was with me for the entire evening, from 7:30 until we got back to the ship at 23:39.
Five, nine.
Lovey, it must be catching.
Get off the lot of you out!
I was wondering just how much longer you were going to be in there. Ann Morpeth and I have been waiting for ages.
Goldstein, what are you doing here?
I come to see about my advancement, of course.
And I'm here to see he gets it.
I don't know anything about this.
No, well, you wouldn't. We decided to bypass you, Steve. That's why I came down here in the first place. Had a lovely chat with the Captain Bar. Reckon it would take about a week to create a vacancy.
Now, look here, wait a minute. I think something's beginning to add up. There's been a leak in Pertwee security. And a dirty great Welsh leak at that. Oh, yes. I've got it now.
Well, I haven't. What's everybody talking about? I mean, before Goldstein could be made a petty officer aboard Troutbridge, some other petty officer would have to leave the ship's company through ill health or through committing a series of... Yes, it does begin to add up, doesn't it?
Amazing how you catch up in the end.
I'm not just a pretty face, you know.
No, you're not.
Well, we can't stand here all day in your boat, Tom.
Right, this won't take long, Auntie.
Get out! Get out!
Well, it didn't, did it?
No, it didn't, you double-crossing, two-time an apology for a Welsh goat. But what I have in mind for you as soon as we get back to the ship, certainly flaming well will.
What's going on? Is something wrong, sir?
I'm afraid there is, madam. CPO Pertwee has been cleared of all charges, so there's still no vacancy for an advancement.
Oh, well, that settles it. I threatened to do it when I came, and now I will. Where's the cash desk? I'm going to buy him out of the service.
I think you might find he'll come a bit expensive, madam.
Expense is no object when it comes to preserving the honor of the Pearl Under Wheels. How much?
Well, I'm not sure, but after 8 years' service, it could well be about £100.
I don't care if it's £1,000. It's a principle of how much.
£100.
Right. They can keep you for another year. After another 12 months wear and tear, you might come a bit cheaper.
But, Auntie...
Tap. Can't stop now. I missed the day excursion home. Don't forget to write now.
Right now, permission to carry on, Mr. Madison?
I doubt if anyone could stop you.
Carry on. Feeding seaman ghost.
No. How would it be if I apologized?
About time!
I'd rather not.
About time! Quick!
What happened,
us all Aunt Morpheus and Thundergut's idea.
Yeah, what happens now? It's going to be all mine.
Yes,
all right. Yes, all right. Yes, all right. Yes, all right.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray and John Pertwee have been undergoing the trials and tribulations of life in the Navy Yard, written by Laurie Wine. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one...